All right. Given that worship is shorter now, I have more time. You know, there's pluses and minuses to everything in life. At least I've come to understand that. But now I have more time to give to the Word. And we finished Romans chapter 8 last week. And today I have been meaning to, and as I was living this life and being encountered by so much and other believers and things I hear here, there, and everywhere. And I thought I would address something today that is prevalent in our society, yet has its foundations all the way back at creation. And yet we find it prevalent and strong here in today, not only in our nation, but in the nations of the earth. And so that would be conspiracy theories. Amen. I have been saying for a few weeks now that I was going to preach a message on conspiracy theories because with the advent of fake news and so many things being thrown at us, we have to have, is it, what's it called, Snoops or Snopes, however you pronounce it. We have a website now and have had it to verify the truth. Why? Because so much false news, what you ever want to call it, conspiracy theories, lies, out and out lies, are being reported as news that you don't know from one day to the next what to believe, right? And yet we know as we look at the scriptures that this isn't anything new, right? And so as I began to look around, as you can imagine, if you wanted to, you could spend the rest of your waking days looking at conspiracy theories. And after you dropped off, after you left this planet looking, you will have not scratched the surface of conspiracy theories because they abound. They abound, right? So a conspiracy, according to this one definition I found on Wikipedia, a loose definition, said a conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful, right? And thus a conspiracy theory is an explanation for an event or a situation that invokes a conspiracy by sinister and powerful groups, often political in motivation, when other explanations are more probable. Okay? And so let me give you some, some personal experience. A few years ago, it was a number of years ago, I received a phone call, actually on my cell phone. I don't know how these people got my cell phone number, but I received a phone call from a purported former member of this church. And then this phone call came and says, "Pastor Pat, do you remember me?" I sat in the back on the left-hand side, on and on and on. And I'm like, and they're describing themselves. And I'm like, I don't quite remember. They say, yeah, I sat back at the church. And they kind of like named the address and had the name of the church and all of that. They said, well, anyhow, I'm in Kentucky. I broke down. These people up here don't like me. I'm in an emergency situation. Please, would you send me some money to help me get out of this situation? Now, this thing was on. I mean, it was on hot and heavy. They knew me. They knew the name of the church. They knew where the church was. And they had where this thing was. I mean, this was a conspiracy here. This thing had me. And I was on the phone driving to a job. I'm cleaning carpet, you know, and I'm driving to a job. And these people are going, but these people up here, they're dangerous. Would you please help me? And so I'm all in an emotional fix, trying to drive to a job, got all of this. And that's what it's designed to do. And so finally I succumbed and I called Western Union. I said, I need to send some money to such and such and such and such a place. And Western Union representative said, Mr. Fauntroy, do not send any money. You are being scammed. And as soon as she said that, like I always tell my wife when she called me for dinner, you never have to tell me twice. Amen. Once the woman told me, my wife knows when she called me, that's it, I'm coming. And so the woman says, you're being scammed. And I was like, okay, Yeah, thank you very much. And I hung up and I was done. I was like, that was a conspiracy. And it's designed to get you emotionally and every other way, pressure, quick decisions, all of this. And then because you want to get out from under the pressure, you just give in. Okay, you know. And so I learned that day. I said, okay, fool me once. You'll never get me again, though. You will never. Pat, I'm about to die out here. See you on the other side. Amen. Need some help? They ain't happening again. So in 1988, I was at the gym. I got saved in 1983. So I'm 5 years old in the Lord, but I go to the gym, work out. I go to the gym, lead this guy to the Lord. Come to church, get filled with the Holy Ghost. We go back to the gym. He leads a guy to the Lord. Come to church, get filled with the Holy Ghost. So we got, you know, God's moving and things are happening and people getting saved and on and on. And so we go to, there's a spiritual warfare conference in Oakton. And so we go to this spiritual warfare conference. Now, keep in mind, whenever you go, my one pastor used to always say, you know, he would call some segments of Christianity the granola Christians, the fruits, the nuts, and the flakes. They would show up at spiritual warfare conferences, you know, because they're into the woo. There's a demon under every rock, and if you say something wrong, fanatic. I'm a fan. That comes from fanatic, and you're a fanatic, and you need to repent and all that. And it's just craziness. Anyhow, so we go to this spiritual warfare conference. There was a former witch speaking and a former Satanist high priestess. They were ministering at this conference. Now, to give you an idea of how things were, the one guy, the guy I led to the Lord, he knew something was, he's like, he looking at it and he just got saved. He just got saved. The other guy told me, he said, Pat, a demon sat on my shoulder the whole time we were in that conference. He said, I went home. I was so scared. I couldn't go to sleep. I slept with the lights on for 2 weeks. This was a grown man. This was a grown man. He said, I slept with the lights on for 2 weeks. I was so scared. I was like, okay. So in this conference, this former witch and this former saint, this high priestess, they're ministering. And they say a lot of different things. And they get to arguing while they're ministering. Not a good sign. And, so at one point, the former Satanist high priestess says, I want you to know something. In 18 months, America's going to be in a police state under martial law. Police going to be in the street with guns. Get ready. That's what she said. And when she said that, fear shot out over the whole conference. What I didn't know was my 10th grade biology partner was in the conference over on the other side or whatever. And when we were leaving the conference, she said to me, she says, Pat, what are we going to do? And I said, don't worry. I said, none of that's going to come to pass. And she's looking at me like, well, but how do you know? I said, well, 1 John 2:27 says that we have an anointing from the Holy One. And we know and understand all things. I said, and that anointing from the Holy One in me has not borne witness to what this woman is saying. So it's not coming to pass. Don't worry about it. She's like, okay, you know, and did it happen? No, it didn't happen. It did not happen. Okay. What was that? It was some conspiracy theory that she had, and people been saying things like this for years. 4 years. Now, you know, you say, well, wow. What am I to think of that? Well, let me tell you what Isaiah 8:12 says. Do not say a conspiracy. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. That's what the Lord says. Nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. So if you're going to fear anything, fear the Lord. Fear his word. Fear what he says, but don't fear what man says, right? Because conspiracy theories are here till the end, church. here to the end. People have been saying all kinds of crazy things. And not only then, but now. So some of you may know or heard of or seen a video of this Pastor Dana Coverstone. Anyone, does that ring a bell? Anyone know who Dana Coverstone? Don't worry, you don't have to know. Ain't even worth looking up. Moses might know. Dana Coverstone is a pastor from Kentucky. And he has videos on YouTube right now, over a million views. And what he says is God has given him dreams. And in these dreams are about America, about Trump, about the election, about civil war in our nation, about Chinese and Russian soldiers on the ground in America, ruling cities, taking over cities. And he's talking about in the next year. Hello. Chinese and Russian soldiers on American soil, taking over cities. So all of this is causing quite a stir among many people. He's told Christians to stock up on guns. Hello? Now, this is a pastor who's having, quote unquote, dreams from God. And he's saying to stock up on guns. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone know how many guns there are in America? 393 million guns. More guns than people. 12 guns, they're saying, per person. That's how many guns are in America. And this pastor's saying you need to stock up on guns, ammunition, food, and gold. He's made people very afraid. But you know what? There are a lot of people who believe what this man is saying. I've had born again, Spirit-filled Christians call me asking me, have you heard about? And news stations, I'm talking TBN, he's on television talking about this, and people in the prophetic, quote unquote, prophetic movement are giving ear to what he's saying and lending their credibility to, and I'm looking at this going, wait a second, man, what are you got? Do I believe it will happen? No, I don't. Well, then why is it happening? Well, one of the reasons is this pastor says he spends his days reading 42 different newspapers every day. 42 newspapers. I'm like, okay, well, when you read your Bible, if you're reading 42 newspapers, if you're reading 42 newspapers, where's the word of God? Where are you spending time meditating on his word? Ah, and Isaiah says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Woo! Hallelujah! My God! That ministers such peace to me. Because my mind loves thinking about Jesus. My mind loves meditating on the Lord, because therein I find rest and I find peace. And so let me ask you a question. Where did Jesus instruct his disciples to stock up on guns and swords? He told them to buy a sword at one point. When Peter went to use it, he told Peter, put up your sword. Remember when Pilate was interrogating him and he said, Pilate, if my kingdom was from this world, then would my servants fight so that I might not be delivered to the Jews. He said, but now my kingdom is not of this world. That's why he told Peter, put your sword up, Peter. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. That sword's not needed. If Jesus ever had a moment to tell his people to fight, it was right then. He taught for 3.5 years, and he never told his disciples to fight. Paul in the epistles never tell his disciples. He never said, hey, stock up, because we're about to get down. We're about to get busy. Paul didn't say that. Peter didn't say it. John didn't say it. But here, this pastor now wants us to believe him when he says, stock up on guns and ammunition. And then we have a young 17-year-old boy goes out and says, I'm going to protect the gasoline station, and he kills two people. We're in a bad way. We're in a bad way. Listen at Jesus' heart in Revelation 2 and 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Hold on. Jesus said, I'm about to suffer? Yeah. No wonder a whole bunch of American Christians not listening to Jesus, because he's not telling them what they want to hear. I'm not into suffering. I'm going to get my gun. I'm into ruling and I'm into reigning. You ever heard of dominion theology? Christians going to take over everything. We'll be ruling cities. We're going to be judges. We're going to institute righteousness by law, by decree. Hello. Did Jesus say that? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. Jesus told those Christians, be faithful until death. You tell that to American Christians, they say, get behind me, Satan. I ain't receiving that. I ain't going to die. I'm going to live. No, Jesus said, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. I don't know how many Christians could have actually knelt on that beach the way those Coptic Christians did when ISIS took their heads off. Christians would have been, hey, what I got to do? Get out of this. I got a nail appointment. I got a massage appointment I got to get to. I need to, you know. No. Come on. Jesus told those who were following him that you were going to suffer. Some of you are going to be thrown into prison. And some of you are going to die. But he said, hold fast. Don't let them steal your faith. He says, because if you have to give your life, if you have to pay by dying, I have reserved for you eternal life. So don't worry. All right. So let's turn to the very first conspiracy theory or lie told in the scriptures. We know it well. It's in the first book. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Now what we need to establish first of all is that what God says is truth. Amen? It is the truth. The truth is not a concept. It's not a thing. It's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So when we reject truth, in particular God's truth, we're rejecting God. We're rejecting the person, right, of Jesus Christ. So Satan says, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So what the devil wants to do for everyone is to get us to question truth. Question God, amen, question God, question the truth. And he always sows that in first. Conspiracy theories are of the devil. They're of the devil, okay? Here's one in the Old Testament. Before we close, I'm going to show you one in the New Testament. And so the most important thing Adam and Eve received from God was his word to them. Would you say that was the case? The most important thing, listen, it was the one thing that kept them alive forever, which was don't eat from the tree. That was the most important thing they had, was what God told. Let's keep what God told us, which means don't eat from that tree. Above all things, no matter what you do, don't eat from that tree. God says you can eat from every tree in the garden. There are four rivers in the garden. Adam, love your wife. You can bear children. Take dominion over this entire planet. God gave them the entire planet, and only one tree he said no to. Just one tree, but everything else is yours. Have at it. God, sometimes I think about us. When I say us, I'm talking about the human race. And I say, oh, God, phew, man, how we can mess things up. And so, it was this very truth that the devil wanted them to question. Remember in Matthew 4 and 3, when the tempter came to Jesus, after the Father had said to him, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Right after that, Jesus is led up into the wilderness to be tempted, or the desert, to be tempted of the devil. And then when the tempter came to him, he says, if you are the Son of God. So he begins to play with what God says. God says, your father says, thou art my beloved son. And then Satan comes and says, if you are the son, command these stones to become bread. So he plays with what God says. He begins to try and massage and manipulate it and to bring Jesus to the point of seeking, even though he's the Son of God, he proceeds forth from the Father, Jesus' own words, right? Then Satan tries to get him to leave the Father, see? Because, see, satisfy yourself, Jesus. Turn the stones into bread. You're hungry. But see, for Jesus, if the Father didn't say it, I'm not going to do it. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so Satan was doing the same thing to Jesus, what he was doing in the garden with Adam and Eve. And so in Genesis 3:2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And so, of course, Eve did what most people do with the word of God. She added to it. She added, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4 goes on. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Conspiracy. Here it is. What's conspiracy theory? It's a lie. Plain and simple. It's a lie, because he tells her, you shall not surely die. He states the lie to her, which at the same time also makes God a liar. Because if God said it and it's not true, it makes God a liar, which we know is not the case. And so he says, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so here we see the very first conspiracy theory in all of creation. What do conspiracy theory do? It tells you that the truth is a lie and there's secret knowledge that if you believe the conspiracy theory, you will get that no one else has, which actually makes you special. That's what all conspiracies do. That's what draws the person in. You see? That's what draws the person in. No, that's not actually what happened. You see, this is actually what happened. There's a group, I'm going to get to it in a second, that they believe that JFK Jr. didn't really die in an airplane crash, but that he faked his death. And he's going to come back and be vice president for Donald Trump. Hello. I told you, if you wanted to spend, you could spend your life reading conspiracy theories till you take your last breath and you'd still be reading. Why? Because the devil, he's the father of lies. And what does he do but go and bait people with lie after lie after lie after lie? And people take it. People believe it. People eat it, drink it. They just live off of it. And so the serpent gets Eve to believe that God is lying to her, because the next step is to reject the truth. So once the truth is questioned, the next step is to reject it. The conspiracy theory is the lie, right, told by the devil. That's what the lie is, and many people believe it. Now, what I'm talking about right here with this conspiracy theory, this being the fountainhead of all others, this one would get you to lose your own soul, the one that Satan told. Now, there are plenty of others out there that we'll get to. Well, I'll share one. I got to read. Let me read this scripture, and then I'll get to some of these conspiracy theories. John chapter 8 and verse 44. This is what Jesus said as he was speaking to those who were not his disciples, who wanted to kill him. He says, you are of your father, the devil, And the desires of your father, remember that, the desires of your father, you want to do. And when people, you know, there are people calling themselves Christians today, and you see how they live their life, and you see what motivates them, and you say, how on earth you call yourself a Christian? Because if that's what you desire, Jesus said, the desires of your father you want to do. So if you want to go kill people, John told us in 1 John that no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. I didn't say it. John said it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. No murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. And so Jesus says, you are your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. In other words, Jesus and Satan have nothing to do with each other. There is no truth in the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Huh? So when we see these conspiracy theories conjured up and people making all of these weird and wild claims. Dr. Fauci actually created the coronavirus in cahoots with the Wuhan lab, and they unleashed it over the world. And there are people who believe that. And now, and watch it. Now, see, yeah, you've heard it. And you know what? And because it sounds sort of plausible, well, could it happen? And then you start getting sucked in. So let me run a few of these. How many of you heard of chemtrails? There was years ago, people would look at the planes flying overhead and they would see the contrails, the white billowing, you know, trails that the plane would leave behind, and someone said is chemical and biological agents that the government is spewing out over the nation to get us mind control, and they want to control us. And there are people who actually believe that. Hello. The New World Order. We've been hearing that for years. The New World Order. What is that? It's a group of international elites who control governments, industry, and media organizations. They actually control everything that's going on. You know, some of this stuff that people believe, you would think they believe in God, because there's no man on the planet who can control governments, industry, and all the media. There's no one person. There's no group of people that can control all that. Huh? Man can't even walk down steps without falling down the steps. You really think there's some man out there ruling it all? Let me tell you something. You have to believe. Let me stop. How about Denver Airport? You heard the one about Denver Airport? There's a conspiracy theory that says that there's a whole city underneath the Denver Airport, and it is the international base to the New World Order. Of course, no one knows about it. Only these people. It says that, you know, there's a city underneath the Denver Airport because it's so large. It makes no sense. It's as large as it is. There's a city underneath it where all the people rule the world. Extraterrestrials and UFOs. I'm not even going to go there. You've heard that. If you've been breathing, you've heard about all those. Area 51. Come on. The government's hiding from us. You know, Transformers, when Megatron was there, he is. And the government had it. How about 9/11? Remember them saying that it was a controlled blast, that the government brought down the two towers? It wasn't the planes that crashed that brought them down. It was the George Bush authorized them to take the towers down, and they blew them up. That's what happened. Sandy Hook, a horrible killing in 2012 of children. And this Alex Jones and others, far right people, just said that it was staged, that all these children were killed, and it was all staged so that the Democrats and the left could go after gun control. I remember President Obama addressing the nation and a tear coming out because it was so horrific what happened. And yet there are people, and Alex Jones just lost in court, just lost a libel suit or something, lost in court because he had been saying for 8 years that all of this was a hoax. And the parents of these children who were murdered sued him to get him to stop. And the government ruled on their behalf. For Barack Obama, you know very well the conspiracy theory there. It's called birtherism. It was the one that took over this whole nation. He wasn't really born here. He's not allowed to be president of the United States. And who now, President Trump didn't start it, but he was the one that fanned the flames and took it to the next level where all people are believing, demanding, and after the man shows his birth certificate, well, that's not real, because that's how conspiracy theories work. When you believe the lie, when you're shown the truth, you say that it's, you know, it's not authentic. That's how you know you're swept up, when someone's swept up in a conspiracy theory, because you're telling them the truth, but they not only can't see it, some in a whole lot of cases, they don't want to see it. That's why I said, remember the desires. Huh? If you want to believe bad something about someone, it's going to present itself. Why? Because there's no one perfect. Come on. If you want to believe poorly, if you want to believe that someone has a problem, oh, just hang on. Hang on. It's coming. Okay, but remember that yours is coming too. Remember that yours is coming too. We have a problem with vaccines. They're working on a coronavirus vaccine, but they said over, I forget what the percentage of Americans say they are not going to take the vaccine. Why? Because vaccines cause autism. That's what people are being told. That's what people have been told for years. Vaccines cause autism. So don't take the I've talked to people who said, no, we are not taking the coronavirus vaccine because the government, when they give you that shot, they're putting a microchip in it. And when it goes in, they're going to be able to track your every movement. Got people scared to death. Do they care? No, they don't care that they're going to affect people's lives. Because when the virus came, the leader of our nation said, it's a hoax. Conspiracy theory? It's a hoax? You say, oh, Pat, why are you talking about this? It's not such a big deal. I have had spirit-filled Christians call me. I've had people message me on Facebook, say, Pat, I heard, you know, but this whole thing, but I was told this thing is a hoax. It was caused by 5G. A woman contacted me not too long ago and said, this thing is caused by 5G technology. And I said to her, no, no. I said, look, and I forget what I said. But by the end of the communication, she said, oh, okay, because I had my aspirin lined up. I was about to start my regimen. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, what are we doing? What are we doing? These are spirit-filled Christians. Hello. Who are drinking in this stuff? And I'm like, wow, no. So the vaccine's going to come out and all kinds of people are going to say no to the vaccine. And so when they say, hey, COVID-19 going to be with us for a long time, you know why? There's multiple reasons why, but one of it is if they got an effective vaccine, they said it was 30-some to 40-some percent of people living in Britain said, oh, no, we're not taking it. We're not having it, you know? So I'm like, wow. So the COVID-19, it's a hoax. It's caused by a China lab. It's a bioweapon against the United States. Really? A bioweapon against the United States? Well, their aim is off by a mile because they missed the United States totally, and they hit the whole world. And they're killing all kinds of people. If this was supposed to be against the United States... Other conspiracy theories about COVID-19, it is a government population control scheme. Hello? A population control scheme? Again, it's caused by 5G. I've heard one said it was cause to deny Trump re-election. I thought, dear heavens. Dear heavens. What? One person actually called me and said, yeah, it's all a hoax and they're going after Trump. And I said, my brother, so you really believe the God of heaven, who rules in the kingdom of men, is allowing these quote unquote, these men you're talking about to kill all these people around the world just so they can go after Trump? And he said, I'm sorry. I repent. I confess. I've been living in great fear and torment. And I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And I said, brother, you haven't offended me. You don't need me to forgive you. I'll forgive you if that's what you need. But I just want you to see something, brother. No, you can't. Listen, if you believe that, then where's God? Who has ultimate say in your life? And where do your emotions and where do your emotions find their allegiance? To Christ or to anything someone says? It can't be that way. We are really going through a time. Now, it doesn't matter if I pronounce it right, but I know. Now, by now, most of you have heard of QAnon. QAnon? Sherry, I know you have. I'm telling my wife about it not all the time, but every now and again I'll say, honey. Okay. It is making its way into churches, evangelical in particular. It is a conspiracy theory that believes wild things, and it takes, I don't even want to talk about, it is so, it is just so deceptive and devious. But here again, remembering this, the only way to believe a lie consistently is to reject the truth. Right? Because when you reject the truth, the only thing left to turn to is a lie. Hello? Yeah. When you reject God, the only thing to turn and serve is idols. Right? So when you reject truth, The only thing left to turn to is a lie. And so this belief is in this QAnon is this guy, this anonymous guy, Q anonymous, Q some type of high, classified status that someone has. But where did I get this from? I think it was the Washington Post. Yeah, it said, it is a concoction of allegations against Democratic politicians, celebrities, and supposed members of a deep state, quote unquote, deep state government bureaucracy, against whom Trump is seen as waging a valiant battle. Purported pedophilia rings are central to the conspiracy theory, along with Satanism and secret judicial proceedings. The teaching believes that these people are pedophiles who eat the children that they have relationships with. This is some of what I've been reading, and I'm loath to even repeat it. It says QAnon believers await the Great Awakening, and the Great Awakening has to do with Christianity, a move of God. Amen. In the 17th century, 19th century, or the moment the general public realizes the conspiracy exists. And the storm, quote unquote, storm, when thousands of wrongdoers will face justice. It includes Trump, but it's because it started in 2017, but it's making inroads into the church, into many churches. People are believing in this, and in it, you will not find Jesus Christ. They'll talk about things around Jesus Christ, like we're waiting for the great awakening. No, you're waiting for the great awakening. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ. I'm looking to heaven for the return of my Lord and Savior, and I'm living for his return. I am not living for a revival. People say, we need revival. No, we need Jesus. You cannot worship revival. Let me ask you, where does the New Testament talk about revival? Be waiting for revival. Did you wait for revival? It's coming. It doesn't. The Bible says Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, he is who we preach. Christ and him crucified. And we are waiting up for his return. Hello. No. Revival is what happens when Jesus is there. Therefore, I'm not seeking revival. I'm seeking Jesus. Because the world needs Jesus. But the world can also reject Jesus. And when you reject the truth, you're going to turn to a lie. In 1831, a Baptist preacher in rural New York named William Miller began to publicly share his prediction that the second coming of Jesus was imminent. Eventually, he settled on a date, October 22nd, 1844. When the sun came up on October 23rd, his followers, known as the Millerites, were crushed. The episode would come to be known as the Great Disappointment. I thought, yeah, then I Googled the Great Disappointment, and it popped up, and everything that this article was saying was true. It says, but they did not give up. The Millerites became the Adventists, who in turn became the Seventh-day Adventists, who now have a worldwide membership of more than 20 million people. So this movement that started with one Baptist minister saying, I believe that the return of Jesus is imminent. Great. We all believe that. He could come at any moment. All of your prophecies and charts aside, Jesus can come whenever he gets, whenever the Father says go, he can come. Right? So, yeah, we believe that, but he wouldn't put a date on it. Hello. And he started this whole movement, and people got up for it, and people crashed because of it. Matter of fact, one guy, Henry Emmons, actually wrote, I waited all Tuesday, which was October 22nd, 1844. He says, I waited all Tuesday, and dear Jesus did not come. I waited all the forenoon of Wednesday, and was well in body as ever I was. But after 12 o'clock, I began to feel faint. And before dark, I needed someone to help me up to my chamber as my natural strength was leaving me very fast. And I lay prostrate for 2 days without any pain, sick with disappointment. That actually happened. This man laid down for 2 days because he was sickly disappointed that what the Baptist minister said was going to happen, which was the return of Jesus, did not happen. And so that was the genesis of the Seventh-day Adventist church. That word Adventist, that's what they were waiting for. They were waiting for the advent, the return of Jesus. They were waiting for that one moment, and it didn't happen. So what is the most powerful weapon against conspiracy theories? Amen. God's word, the truth, and not just the truth, but a love on our part for the truth, right? And so when you hear something, when I hear something said, we need to go, the first thing we do is I need to find out if it's true. Remember Acts chapter 17 when Paul went and preached the gospel to the Bereans, and the scripture says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. One woman in this QAnon conspiracy theory said, I prayed to the Lord and I asked him if it's right. And she says, well, if I don't get that feeling like it's right, that he says it's right, I go ahead with it. She says, if I don't get that feeling. And I'm thinking, where in the Bible does it say if I don't get that feeling? Hello. Hello. Reminds me of the young man, the young Christian man and the young Christian woman who were heavily in lust with one another. And they would go on dates and they would pray. And one night they were in great lust and they prayed and said, let's ask the Lord if it's okay if we sleep together. And so they prayed and they asked the Lord, said, Lord, would it be okay? And both of them got a resounding yes. And so they slept together. So that's why, and I don't put any stock on what I prayed and asked the Lord. No, the script, the Bible says that the Bereans searched the scriptures. See, the scriptures are objective. Our feelings are subjective. You know, I feel like knocking you upside the head today. So I'm going to wrap you one. Pow. No, we don't go by feelings. The Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The Bible says to love your enemies. Come on, do good to those who despitefully use you. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, I'm feeling like this is what God, well, what does God's word say? It's not subject to feelings. And so listen at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, says the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Listen, because they did not receive the love of the truth. They did not receive the love of the truth. Look, I don't care who you are and where you come from. It reminds me of Paul in Galatians chapter, was it 2, when Peter was siding with the Jews and not eating with the Gentiles, and Barnabas was taken up in the whole thing, and Peter said, and Paul said, Peter, you're not holding fast to the truth of the gospel, because the gospel says no one can be saved by keeping the law. Why are you trying to get these people to keep the law, which you couldn't even keep? Come on. The gospel says Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection makes us right with God, not the keeping of the ceremonial laws of Judaism. And so Paul called him to his face. And that's how we need to be with one another. If I get up here and preach something that is not scriptural, you say, oh, hey, no, what do they say? Eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Come on. When you hear something not right, you say, no, we're not having that. Now, you know, we love each other, so I'm not going to intentionally teach you something that's not right. But every now and again, hey, who's perfect, right? So we've all said things that were out of line or not true. But we need to receive a love for the truth such that even if it's my brother who says it, No. I love the truth more than I love you, brother. Come on. Because the love of God is what connects us. So we have to maintain that. And so the scripture says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. God help us. God help us that we do not find ourselves believing the lie. 30-year-old young man who actually believed in his dying breath. This is what he said as he died to COVID-19. We're told that young people are not affected. They're virtually immune to COVID-19. And so the young man, as he was taking his last breath, says, oh, I was wrong. This is not a hoax. Hello. Hello. He believed the lie. And let me make clear concerning this virus, church. And I thank God every day. I mean, literally every day, that you and I have, as far as we know, have not contracted this virus. And you say, why do I thank God every day? Because I'm hearing, and this is no conspiracy theory, it is true, people, the lasting effects of COVID-19 what it's doing to people's bodies. And it's a random thing. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it happens where this man lost 60% of his lung capacity. A perfectly healthy 37-year-old man, now he can barely walk his dog. He goes to the mailbox and come back. He has to sit down. He can barely breathe. And yet some people are saying, oh, no, it's not going to have any effect. Everything's okay. Come on. Come on. That's affecting people's lives. Some people are dying because people are saying that, which makes me never want to say it, which makes me say, hey, look, when I come into your house, every house I go into, when I clean carpet, the first thing people say, they'll say, oh, hold on, let me get my mask. Because I walk in with my mask on. Well, is it because I'm scared? No, it's because I'm not a fool. It has nothing to do with scared. I'm not scared. I know Jesus. The moment I close my eyes, I have no doubt in my mind. I'm going to open them. Oh, Jesus, my Lord. That's secure. That's settled. Okay? So I'm not scared, but I value life. I want to live and I want you to live. So I'm going to put my mask on. I'm going to protect you and I'm going to protect me. So God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. Whoo! But had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, to not believe the truth is to believe the lie. When you turn from God, there's nothing else to turn to. When you turn from life, the only thing to turn to is death. When you reject life, you embrace death. Don't reject Jesus. Believing Jesus is believing the truth. Loving Jesus is having a love of the truth. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit. That would be QAnon. That would be all of these conspiracy theories that I just mentioned. Striving about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. To the ruin. Of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, but shun or turn away profane and idle babblings. A lot of things that are going on out in the world are idle babblings, and they come into the church and people give heed to them. People give ear. Paul says, shun those, Timothy. Listen, for they will increase to more ungodliness. They will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. And we see, believe me, if you haven't heard of QAnon, hang on. Because some of the articles that I've read, oh, you're going to be hearing about it. You will be hearing because it's in Congress. On the federal level, it's on the state level, it's in sports, and people in every sphere of society are being affected by this QAnon. And what he purports. Even though he said last October 30th, was it last October 30th? No, it was October 30th, 2017, Hillary Clinton will be arrested. Other major figures in the Obama administration will be arrested and put on trial. Did it come to pass? No. Did that cause many people to leave Q and run away? No. Why? Because they want to believe something negative about somebody. Woo, you better watch it when you're in that space. You see, because you become open to just about anything. He said, their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort who have strayed concerning the truth. Paul says, Hymenaeus and Philetus have strayed concerning the truth. And what does that mean? They're believing a lie. What was the lie? Saying that the resurrection is past. saying that the resurrection is past. You know, there's a teaching out today. It's called the preterist, that teaches that Jesus Christ returned to earth on AD 64. Huh? And that the return has already happened and the resurrection has already happened. You say, how do you know this? Because there was a man in this church years ago who believed it, and we sat down and talked about it. Matter of fact, you'd be surprised how many people I sit down and talk to about that doctrine. That's absolutely crazy. I'm not going to call him crazy. I'm saying that doctrine. Paul said they have strayed concerning the truth, because this is what they purport, that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. And beloved, that's what the devil wants, is he wants your faith. Come on. He told God, he says, I'll get Job to curse you to your face. What he was after was Job's faith. That's why Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Hello. No. Paul goes on in the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and he says, preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but according to their own desires. That's why I said earlier, remember that word, desires. According to their own desires. Listen, once the Bible says a man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires, his own lusts, and enticed. That's when we're tempted, right? Listen, if you want something, then you're open to all the temptation that will take you there. That's why our desires are so important. It's not enough to have the truth. We must have a love for the truth. We must desire the truth. He says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to fables. This one article I was reading, the man went and interviewed a woman who was into the QAnon conspiracy theory. This is what the woman said. My daughters thought I was crazy. My friend from high school thought I was crazy. She said, because when I first got into it, I spent eight to 10 hours a day researching QAnon. This would be a Christian. This is the same woman who said, I prayed and asked God, do you want me to be a part of this? And he said, well, he didn't say no. So that's, this is what she said. Well, he didn't say no. So that must mean. So she was researching this conspiracy theory for 6 to 10 hours a day. My question would be, when are you reading your Bible? When are you immersing yourself in the Word of God? What does the Word of God mean to you, if anything at all? Because the Word of God does not exist to tickle your fancy. The Word of God does not exist to make you feel all goody-goody on the inside. No. The Word of God exists. James said in James 1 that it exists to save your soul. The engrafted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. He said, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Hello. And so, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9, the writer said this, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Do not be carried about with various and strange teachings. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. Man, I love this scripture. It's good that the heart be established by grace. Hey, listen, you can believe all the weird, crazy doctrines you want to. You know what I choose to believe? The Bible says that God is the one who takes care of you and I every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, lead me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Hey, look here. That's what I choose to believe. What the Bible says is that God is the one who carried me out of my mother's womb. He said, I'm going to carry you all the way to the grave, son. Don't you worry about anything. And that's what I do. Every day I get up, I go to work, I thank God for strength. I thank God for breath. I thank God for everything you give me. I say, Lord, you give me a wife. You give me children. I work hard. I come home. I sleep good. I get up. Got enough to eat. Got enough drink. Got enough to wear. Woo! Glory to God. I praise you. That's what God does. That's what he's been doing. It's so simple. It's so simple that people want to leave that alone and say, oh, there's some special thing going on over here. And you're the only one who know about it. Okay, you go ahead and run with it. We'll see how far it gets you. Hello. It's good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. All right, so I gave you, let me close with this New Testament conspiracy theory. I started with the Old Testament, the greatest one in the Old Testament. Let me end with the most profound one in the New Testament concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 27. And 28. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Matthew 27:62. Verse 64. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead, so the last deception will be worse than the first. So here you have the deceivers calling the truth a deceiver. And so they are going to make now, this is the Roman government at that time, they ruled the world. They were the prevailing power of that day. It would be akin to the United States. That's the big power of the day, right? And they go, the elders of the Jews go to that government and say, hey, look, President, we want you to make this secure so that nobody can get in here. What do you think they did? They made it secure. The Roman, the ruling power of the day, they sealed that tomb. Nobody is getting in here. You better believe that's what happened. And so Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard, because they want to make sure that Jesus, who is dead, stays dead. Hello. But you see, you can't stop God. You know, this is the thing that gets me about man. The moment man in his wisdom thinks he's going to outsmart God, the moment you think it, you've already lost. The moment, just cast your thoughts aside. Because there is no counsel or understanding of wisdom against the Lord, Proverbs 21 and 30. There is no wisdom, counsel, or understanding against him. There's nothing you can come up with. The moment you come up with it, he said, yeah, thank you. I've already used that in my plan. Go ahead with it. Go ahead. But you see, I don't need that stone to get my son out of there. Hello. But they didn't know that. So they're going to go ahead and do what they're going to do. Matthew 28:1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Why was there a great earthquake? For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I don't know physiologically or whatever way what happened to these men, but I think it would be safe to say they were scared half to death, as we use that term. Now, Matthew 28:11. Now, while they were going, the women that Jesus told the told them to tell his disciples about his rising again. While they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened, which we just read. They reported to the chief priests that, now I don't know if they saw the angel. I mean, Matthew says the angel came down, removed the stone, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothes white as the guards, and the guards shook for fear of him. So they had to have seen this. Okay? But the guards, they go and tell the chief priest everything that happened. When they had assembled, talking with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this conspiracy, this saying, is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So the elders of the Jews, along with these soldiers, conspired to propagate a lie. Huh? Oh, yeah. We were asleep, and they came and stole his body. They came and broke the seal, moved that big old stone, and we were asleep. We didn't hear any of it. No, that's a lie. It's a conspiracy theory, and people who believe it. And it's purported today. It's purported today. And people believe that they came and stole his body. And so the soldiers chose to go along with the conspiracy. We choose to believe the truth about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day. So what do we ought to do? Hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the truth. And do not believe the lie. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Father, now we thank you, O God, that you are the true and the living God. And John tells us in 1 John and 5 that we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true and eternal life. Father, we thank you. Oh, God, that you sent your Son, that you proclaimed your word through apostles and prophets to all the world so that we might hear and receive faith to be born again, to be made brand new. This is the truth of the gospel, and this is how people are saved today. And we're so grateful. We're so thankful, oh, God, that you chose us. You called us and we heard. You made us alive while we were dead in trespasses and sins. And Father, we thank you for giving us a love for the truth, that we might remain in the truth and not believe the lie. Father, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that this gift of discernment, that the spirit of discernment, oh God, would be our portion as the church of Jesus. Lord, that we would know we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we understand all things, and we will be able to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Father, we would not, oh God, give in to a spirit of error, oh Lord, a spirit of deception. But Father, that we, as your spirit is truth, the spirit of truth comes to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, that we would so discern, Lord, and follow that which is only of you. Father, we pray that your word would have free course in us, that your desire would be accomplished in us, through us, to in and through us, to the glory of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. And we ask it all in Christ's matchless name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.